Welcome to Bits and Bytes on Mid Morning Mix, where we talk everything from gaming to gadgets and technology. Cyber attacks are becoming a worldwide concern, with organizations, banks, and even cities experiencing a breach of their networks. Without a proactive approach that includes good governance and having the correct tools in place for when the systems are being compromised, entities go into firefighting mode once an attack occurs. And this can result in the organization being vulnerable to more threats and cybersecurity costs shooting through the roof. To unpack this, I have Charles Ikerman on the line, CEO of AVS Cybersecurity. Good morning, Charles, and welcome to Bits and Bytes.
Good morning. Thank you very much for having me, and hello to all the listeners as well.
Why are more organizations experiencing cyber attacks?
More organizations are experiencing cyber attacks because there's a growing change in the landscape and the number of kind of threats that are created every day. The old statistic, which I always use, is there's about four new pieces of code of viruses and so on created every second of the day. That means new stuff, new variants, new malignant software that is created to create cybercrime. And people are more aware of it because the kind of weaknesses that are being exposed on platforms such as your Windows platforms and Android platforms and so on are more discovered on a daily basis. And that means that cyber criminals use those exposed weaknesses in the software to try and gain access to confidential information. So it's all about money. For the average user out there, it's all about money. We're not talking about state-sponsored events. That's a different discussion. For the average user, it's all about money, and they try to steal your identities and your money.
How do hackers get into important company information systems?
Well, they usually take a very targeted approach. They take an approach where they very quickly analyze the organization. They identify what kind of information that they want to access, and it will usually start off with certain mails. So it will start up. I mean, almost 90%, or just over 90% of all viruses actually come in, or bad code come in to organizations via mails. So people get mails that look really very, very legit. It's not like in the old days where it was another bonus that, or a locker that you won, or some sort of inheritance that you got from Nigeria, or a property and so on. The guys have become very sophisticated. So they will send a mail to the finance department which says invoices or statements or something alike. It will be very legit in terms of where those mails are coming from. So a large organization will typically be targeted via a smaller vendor. Let's take someone that supplies water to a very large organization. They will see who are the people that supply water. They will know that the smaller companies don't have the same kind of robust security measures in place.
Yes, yes.
They would then attack the smaller organization and ensure that there's certain bad code, or let's just call it bad code. You can call it a virus, you can call it a worm, you can call it malware. That they will install that kind of software on this water supply company. And then when that mails are being sent from the water supply company to the larger organization, obviously the larger organization says, yes, we know these people, they supply us with the statements, this is what it is. They may say something about changing their systems and things like that, because people trust.
Yes.
They trust easily. They will trust that these are legit mails. And that's where the fun starts. So it will all start with receiving phishing mails and mails that have been compromised in some sort of way. That's the one way of doing it. Another trend that is taking place is where the cyber criminals will infiltrate what we call the ISP. Now, the ISP is the guy between you sending the mail and you use a MWIP or a MTN or a whatever. I'm not using those examples, but you've got a service provider that provides you with a carriage in order to send your mails out into the internet. So they would compromise that mail from the point it was sent from your email address to the point where the person receives the actual email. So there's what we call a man in the middle that actually took that mail and changed it without either the sender or the receiver knowing that it was changed.
Wow.
So, give you an example. Just the other day, I heard a story where a lady was doing some building works, and she received an invoice from her builder contractor, and she then it's a legit. It came from the building contractor. Everything fine. She's expecting a mail from the building contractor. She then says, "Oh, here's the banking details for the building contractor." She makes the payment, and then she just sends the building contractor WhatsApp or SMS to say, "Listen, just want to let you know I've made a payment into your AXA bank account." Let's use made a payment into your AXA bank account. And then the building contractor says that, "I'm not with AXA. I'm actually just maybe with another bank." And she says, "No, but what do you mean? I mean, I've received your mail. Your banking details are on your document." So someone between the sender and the receiver got hold of that document, changed the banking details, and then if she didn't do a WhatsApp or a phone call or something to the builder, no one would have been wiser at all.
That's scary.
It's very, very scary. It's very, very scary how sophisticated the guys are becoming in terms of stealing. So the bottom line is, the question you had was, why is this happening, and why is it happening more? The more the global economy is in turmoil, etc., there's going to be more cyber criminals. And the IT landscape or the IT environment is not getting any simpler. It's just getting more complicated by the day if you look at cloud solutions and what people have on their premises and so on. So it's a changing landscape. That's the long and the short of it.
Why do hackers usually request payment in cryptocurrencies such as Bitcoin?
Because there's no identity attached to it. So if you ransom somewhere, or someone ransoms someone, and they say, "Pay it into this bank account," it's quite obvious that you have to be registered. They can trace you back in terms of exactly who you are, because your identity number and all these kind of credentials are associated with your bank account. With Bitcoins, there is no identity. You don't know who the true owner of that Bitcoin account is.
You can't trace
back.
There's
no visibility at all. You can't trace it back to the originator or whoever it belongs to.
You tuned into Mid-Morning Mix on Radio 786 100.4 FM. And on Bits and Bytes today, we have Charles Ikerman on the line, CEO at AVS Cybersecurity, telling us about cyber attacks. Now, Charles, how does a shutdown of systems prevent hackers from causing further damage?
I think one must do a couple of basics. One must get some of the basics in place. For the average user out there, it is really do a couple of basics. And it's the old story, get a good reputable antivirus. Let's call it an antivirus, but a good endpoint security product. There's quite a number of brands on the market. So you get Kaspersky, you get ESET, and you get Norton. So there's quite a number of brands on the market that people need to install. Don't download the free antivirus. Free antivirus are often designed by cyber criminals. So they would want you to download this free antivirus. It says it's picked up all these viruses, and that's the biggest lot of nonsense, because they basically just used your ignorance to have bad code on your computer in order to try and harvest some of your credentials and so on. So get a good antivirus, a reputable antivirus. Don't use something that's just cheap and free. There's no such thing as free, because the moment it's for free, it means you become the product. And that's how it works. The second thing is, we often get these very nuisance updates that we have to do, whether it's a Microsoft update, especially with Windows 10 and so on, and Adobe updates and all these different kinds of updates. I would highly recommend that people really do that, because what happens is that the vendors, like Microsoft and so on, and they identify certain weaknesses in their software, and they will then write updates to say, "Guys, let's quickly patch this specific weakness in our software, so that we can ensure that we are not being compromised or you're not being compromised." So do those updates. The third point is make regular backups of your data. you don't have to do it these days on an external hard drive and so on. I think those days are becoming less. Make proper backups in a